Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Rooted Deep, a podcast featuring Reba Bowman and Allison Hale.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rooted Deep podcast. We are so glad that you joined us today. My name is Reba Bowman. I'm here with my co-host, Allison Hale. And we love being able just to get with you every week. And hopefully, you know, Allison, I think our goal is always let's inspire, let's motivate, but then let's get people, let's give them some practical things that you could actually turn off the podcast and actually go do.
Right. And I feel like we do that, or we at least try that. Like you said, as soon as they get off, you know, as soon as they turn off the podcast, you know, and come back in the house from, you know, wherever they were driving or wherever they were walking.
Right.
I feel like there is something that we try to, here's something that you can turn, you can literally journal. You can call a friend and say, hey, yeah. There's usually something. And that's what we try to do, because that's what I like to do after a conversation. I always call them action steps. I'm like, okay, after this important conversation, after this important meeting, what's the next thing I can do? Mm-hmm. And what's the next thing? If it's literally just sitting there and taking stock, if it's, you know, phoning a friend and being accountable, if it's writing, making a list, whether it's a gratitude list or a list mm-hmm. of people you need to talk to, whatever it is, there's yeah. usually something at the end that we can say, hey, you know, pick up a pen, pick up the phone and do something about this. Pick up your Bible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think today's going to be one of those topics.
Yeah.
I think people think sometimes an oxymoron. They think, how can these two exist in the same space? But today we're going to talk about holy confidence, ditching insecurity without arrogance. And yeah. I think that especially sometimes in the Christian world, among the church, there's an idea that somehow humility and confidence can't go together. Somehow right. they can't reside in the same cup. And that's not really true at all from a biblical standpoint. But I think that a lot of times we feel like, okay, if I'm confident, I'm arrogant. And those two yeah. are two completely different words that we want to try to unpack today for people and help you understand, wait a minute, there's a very big difference between being confident and being arrogant. And so many things, because I believe, and the reason we're talking about this, I believe we live in a world where so many people live in such deep insecurity. And mm-hmm. I don't think it's what God wants for them.
No. And I think a lot of times when in the deep insecurity, you really try to mask it, right? You really try to, you know, kind of a fake it till you make it type of a situation or, mm-hmm. you know, and then that's where, you know, this bravado or facade is developed. And so I think it's really important, because the insecurities that are coming that I don't know when you're 50, I don't know if you know that there is a we do not care club, and it's all over social media, and women our age are like, you know what, we no longer care. And it's right. like, we've struggled with insecurity for so long. We struggled with worrying about, you know, our outlook, you know, the way we look or with this. And then all of a sudden, and I think, you know, it's funny, some people are taking it too far, but I think there is, especially at this moment, I think sometimes some people are like, wait, I've been insecure for too long. How do I course correct? How do I fix it? And what, you know, what are some things that I can do? Because I see the value, but I don't, it's like bridging that gap between my insecurity and who I am in Christ and who I am, you know, just in my own skin.
Oh no, absolutely. And I think for, you know, for those of the younger generation, this is something, if you could get,
yeah, we didn't have a podcast at our age. So
no, right. We did not have podcasts in our age, but I mean, if you could get this in your 20s, mm-hmm. if you could get this early in life, not that where you know, as Allison says, not to where we take it to extremists, like we don't care. No, that's not it. But there's a holy confidence. There is I know who I am. Mm-hmm. I knew who I'm called to be, and I'm okay in the skin I was given. Yeah. And I'm okay to be me. And I think there is a shift there's an unbelievable mental shift that happens when you actually embrace those things and are able mm-hmm. to step into those things versus feeling, insecure, or feeling like, you're battling, the imposter syndrome of trying to pretend you're somebody you're not. And you're always chasing the impossible, really. I mean, to try to be somebody that you're totally not, is exhausting. And I think those are things that if we could help, boy, if we could help some younger people today, if we could help some people in their midlife right now that maybe, a couple kids in and they're not homecoming queen anymore. And all of a sudden, they look in the mirror or they look, at themselves and they're like, what, I've fallen apart. What happened to my, what happened to me? And there's comparisons and all kinds of things. And I feel like wherever you're sitting, no matter what age bracket you're in right now, there's something for you here in this podcast, because there's all of us struggle at some level just with being insecure and trying to figure out, how do I gain the confidence that I need to be who I need to be?
And just remembering that our confidence, if we can start this off completely, the confidence that we have and the confidence that we need has to be anchored in God, has to be anchored in our identity in Christ. It has to be anchored in who we are and being okay with who He's made us and how He's made us. And that, and it's not in this is maybe a little self-help, but it's mostly you're not doing this alone. This is, the power of Christ in you. But that confidence has to be anchored in God, not in just our own egos. And it cannot be anchored in our perception of how other people see us or what we're putting out there. And this has got to be an inward. This is one of those things that from the beginning, you're going to have to look and see, okay, who do I think I am? And this, and who do I, and what am I putting out there? And is it a difference? Because we've talked about this before, living, being an insecure person, but doing that, being an imposter syndrome or having that imposter syndrome of having to cover or make up for, that's two separate, almost two separate ideas, and that's exhausting. And it is, you don't, and it's tiring, and that does lead to further in mental health issues, further insecurities,
Absolutely.
because it's like, wait a minute, who am I to who, to which person? And you're just, it's exhausting. I've tried it. I really have. And it's very tiring.
And I think, we in our culture, we talk a lot about ego and we talk a lot about self-esteem. We use that word a lot in our culture. You just need self-esteem. You need, and I tend to, I have a, I don't agree with that. Because esteem has, it's at its idea is to lift your lift, to be lifted up, to kind of put on a pedestal and say, okay, this is what I'm shooting after. And I don't think me is the person I esteem. And I think you said it so well. I think if I ultimate security comes when I have Christ esteem, it really does. Now I'm not, I understand we can redefine self-esteem in a way that's biblical. However, playing a technicality, I really feel like if I'm going to be a confident person, I don't look in the mirror and go, good night, Reba. You are just loaded. You've got an amazing personality.
The daily
You have just got
affirmations.
all these complete, incredible talents and abilities. Look at you go, girl. The world is blessed to be with you today.
You're good
Okay.
enough, you're smart enough, and doggone
Yeah,
it,
right. I
people
can
like
say all
you.
that, but you know, at the bottom end of the line, I know what I'm like. I know what I don't know. I know my fears and my failures and all my stuff. I know all my stuff. So there's a point where I don't believe that lie, that I'm telling myself, every day. And I don't think that's the way forward. I think the way forward is understanding that whose I am. I'm in Christ. Okay. Those in Christ scripture verses are powerful all throughout, especially Paul uses it a lot. Who we are in Christ is what gives us so much confidence, because I'm not tapping into, it's like my refrigerator. My refrigerator has an electrical plug that comes out of it, and it's plugged in to a wall outlet that's connected to a power source, and that it enables my refrigerator to run all the time. And for me, if I look at it that way, I'm just like a refrigerator. I in and of myself, I don't have the ability to run all the time. But if I'm anchored and plugged into where I need to be, and that connected to that power source, then the and then that power source is God,
It's the right
then
one,
guess
yeah.
what? All of the wonderful attributes of God and the power of God and the abilities of God now are accessible to me because I'm plugged into Him. And that
Yeah.
changes everything.
Exactly. And it does because, again, using your analogy, it's nothing, a refrigerator is just a box on its own, until
Right.
it is. And so plugging in and plugging into the right source and being plugged in the right, just the all of the things. And I think that's what we can do when we talk about, the biblical way. And we've talked about this before when we talked about when we did that series on experiencing God. It's connecting with Him in an intimate way for all these reasons and in all these ways, whether it's prayer, whether it's, good community, whether it's Bible reading and all of that, and finding our power and our confidence in Him, and being okay with it's not me, being okay with it's me in Him. And so I think that's a good place to start. I think a good another good place to start is understanding, because we struggle, right? It's two polar opposites. You've got insecurity and then you've got arrogance. Everybody, it's like, okay, I'm trying to build this confidence, so I'm just going to create create a new me, a new Allie. And
So you
it's the
flip to the
year of
arrogant, you
Allison.
know.
Yeah, I just flipped over to the arrogant. Because we want to look confident, but we're confused. And so in our insecurity, we don't know which
Agreed.
way and to go. So just starting off with insecurity, and these phrases, we hear these all the time from the young people that we spend time with to our age women, and on through these phrases that say you're not enough. You have nothing to offer. It's the comparison thing. Okay, if I'm this and that she's that, then I'm definitely not enough. And that comparison that tells us these things, or just kind of hang back, stay in the background, stay quiet, be hidden. And we're trying, but that's like, I feel like that's a false humility. We're just like, I just don't want to, and that insecurity creates these difficult phrases that we tell ourselves over and over again, either in our hearts and minds, or in our actions, that
No, absolutely.
insecurity.
No, absolutely. And I think also insecurity is one of the things that's almost always has what I'll call an attacher. So I look to what I'm attached to give me some sort of security. Okay. So insecurity is always looking to attach itself to something. So for a young single woman, this one's easy. She's looking for a guy. And if she feels like if I attach myself to a guy, then I'll be secure because my worth will be elevated because this guy must think I'm pretty or he wouldn't want to be with me. He must think I'm wonderful or he doesn't want to date me and hang out with me. So now I'm secure. And you can walk this through.
Whether it's career or
A man says, "Hey, I'm not enough. I'm just not enough. And so I need to go hit the gym. And I'm gonna turn my whole body into this whole other thing. I'm gonna become this power weightlifter, and I'm gonna be ripped, and I'm gonna be cut, and I'm gonna have a six pack, and I'm gonna have all these things. And now, once I'm that, I'll be enough. That will give me security." So insecurity is notorious for having something attached to it. It's got to have an attacher. And when we look at it in the wrong way, I attach myself to all the wrong things. So I'm looking for, hey, if I cut my hair, if I lose some weight, if I have a six pack, if I dating a girl, if I'm dating a guy, if I'm wealthy, if I have a bigger home, if I drive a cooler car, then I'll be secure.
And none of these things in and of themselves are bad. It's
No.
the worth that we attach to that we're trying to get that, to attach to ourselves, or that worth to build our own worth. It's not a problem, wanting to be married. It's not a problem to want to
That's
have,
right.
this or, but it's when we put our worth in that. And that's, like you said, that's what's creating, this insecurity. And you're absolutely right. And thinking of it that way, I think when you put it in those words, I feel like that might clarify for so many people to be like,
100%.
why am I in, why do I feel? And then they'd be like, okay, yeah, I see that. I see, I'm too into my looks, or I'm too focused. I'm comparing my face to somebody else's face, and I'm wanting, plastic surgery or gym, or, I'm
Yeah.
comparing what I have to somebody else's. And so then that's very clarifying, I feel like, just for all of us to say, okay, where is my insecurity attached to, and how much worth am I giving that thing? And expecting from, how much worth am I expecting from that thing to build me up?
Correct. Yeah. Because I feel like these two polar opposites of insecurity and arrogance, they both have these same things. They have a lot in common. And they just, because it's like, oh, okay, I get that six pack abs
Now,
and I get
look at
this
me.
ripped body. Now I come over from, I shift from insecurity to arrogance, right?
Because
But
look at what I did.
I'm still attached to something though, Allie. That's the thing we can't miss. Is that I'm still, why am I arrogant all of a sudden? Well, I'm arrogant because I look awesome. I'm arrogant because I got money. I'm arrogant because I drive this car. I'm arrogant because I grew up in a wealthy family, or whatever my social, economic status was. I'm arrogant for a lot of reasons. And arrogance, says, hey, I'm enough on my own. I don't need you and I don't need any help, right? I got
I got
this.
this.
Nobody can tell me what to do. And nobody can tell me to change because I know what I'm doing, right? So there's this very much, and then there's a lot of self-promotion. It's and boy, in our world of social media, this is not hard to spot. A lot of self-promotion and a lot of self, hey, look at me. Look at me. Look how awesome I am. Look at how awesome my kid is. Look how awesome this is. Look how awesome this is. And again, these are motivations of the heart. There's nothing wrong with posting, hey, my kid just hit a home run on your social media feed. That's not necessarily being arrogant, unless there's an attachment to that that says my kid's better than everybody else's kid because of this or that or the other. So I think we look at these things and we see a lot of self. I mean, the key, the heart word here, the middle word is I'm so focused on me. And that's the opposite of confidence. Confidence is focused on the Lord. And man, I think when I was younger, if I erred on a side here, I erred. I think I had a lot of insecurities in myself, but I think I presented as arrogant in many times in my younger
Same here.
days, in my younger years. I presented as arrogant because I just had a lot of, I can do this. Give it to me. Get out of my way.
I don't
I
need,
got this,
I can carry two of them.
And so, yeah, and so trying to figure out, wait a minute, how do I shift from my insecure self or my arrogant self to a confident self that is still confident that God's equipped me and put everything in me to do what I'm supposed to do? And Allie, that's a huge question, because I think a lot of us, we need to move. We either need to move from arrogance to confidence, or we may need to move from insecurity to confidence. And the process, believe it or not, is exactly the same for both.
Exactly. It is, because it's getting our focus off of self, getting our focus on what, where we feel our worth is, and where we feel, and what we feel we have worth in. And what our independence, and I think this is one of the things that I struggled with, because I felt like I had to, because I was in leadership, I felt like I had to be enough on my own. I had to do it all, and it was, but again, it was about me, me, me. And so focus, and so just really making a shift from self to God, making a shift from my worth to my worth in Christ is very important. And I think that's, and it's biblical, but I feel like it's also freeing. There's so much when we can put our confidence and our security in God and how he's made us, how he's created, and his purpose for us, then that can be so freeing. And it's definitely a restful place to be. And I think that, what there's we've got some Bible verses here, and I think some of these, there's a strength in there, but I also feel like there's also the reward of rest and security. right? Because it's in him, it's not in me. And this first Bible verse, Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Now, the confidence, like, you feel like that's such a position of strength, but I feel like it's also a position of rest. And so many times at every generation, because we've had our talks with women from different decades, right? And this constant striving, this constant struggle to be who or to present how. But then when we go back to our confidence in Christ and reading this first verse, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him, that's quite a restful place to be. Straight. It's
No.
you're still there's still strength. You know, we're not resting on
Absolutely.
our laurels. We're resting in Christ, and our confidence is in him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's such a powerful, and we talk about this all the time, that we start with this trust word so many times. You've said it so many times. I don't think we ever have a podcast that we don't talk about trusting God.
Right, yeah.
And because it really is the basis for success for us in life. As we lean into God's ability to get us through. So if I'm in a situation that's overwhelming me, I can be confident. How can I be confident? Well, I can be confident because I know that if God's allowed me to brought me here, if he's allowed me to get here, he's gonna get me through this. Some way, somehow, God is gonna give me, because he's promised, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. God says, I'll give you what you need to get through here. And it doesn't mean we don't struggle, and it doesn't mean it's not hard, but it means I can always be confident in him. And we also understand Psalm 139 that God has given us so much from our very before we were ever a thought in our parents' mind. God formed us, and he knows exactly, and talents, abilities, DNA, wiring, personalities, temperament, every word you want to throw in that package that makes us who we are was not selected by us or our parents or our grandparents. It was selected by God himself. And God's like, I'm going to make you just be exactly what you need. And I love these ping verses. Psalm 139 tells us that. 2 Peter 1:3 tells us that according to his divine power, he's given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. So guess what? Based on Psalm 139 and 2 Peter 1:3, I can see these bookends of saying, guess what? Everything I'll ever face, everything I'll ever go through, I'm equipped for. If I stay connected to God, I've got what I need. Now that should give me great confidence. It removes all arrogance because it's not of me. But it also removes a lot of insecurities to say, wait a minute, I don't feel like I've got this. I don't feel like I can do this. I think I'm just going to quit. I think I'm going to sit out on the side of the road. No, 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 no. That's not it either. And so we're trusting in the Lord, and we're being confident in him. And then Hebrews 10:35 says, don't throw your confidence away, you know?
And I think what you just said is, spiritually and physically, it's the promise that we have from God, in his word, like you said, with these two Bible verses, because everything we're gonna deal with is wrapped up in, and he's already prepared it, because Psalm 31, if we go back to that passage, he's already been in that struggle even before the chapter promises us. He's already gone before, so whatever struggle it is, he's got that, and he's equipped us, and he's come behind. And then the confidence that we need in the Holy Spirit, and in him, and how he's equipped us, like you said, equipped us spiritually for that. But the key is, going back to the refrigerator, the key is staying connected, staying plugged in, staying, because a lot of times we step out of, or we unplug for a little while, and hey, we got this. Thanks for creating me. Thanks for building me up, God. I got this from here. And I feel like a lot, so many of us has done that over and over again. Okay, I'm just gonna plug in. And this happens all the time, because the Dominican, we lose electricity almost daily.
Yes,
And
you
so
do.
we have to, and we have to keep that. Let's keep the refrigerator closed, and let's keep the freezer closed, because it's not connected to power, but it can hold on for a little while, and then after, it's rotten. And if we do that, because I feel like so many times we build up our confidence in Christ, and then we're like, okay, good. Yeah, look at me. I've got it. I'm sailing. And then we unplug, and we're like, oops, no. I mean, and we're sinking like Peter in the waves.
No, exactly right. I know exactly right. And I think, what it doesn't mean, and this is what God has, I think, has taught me in my older years, that I didn't understand in my younger years. In my younger years, I thought, this is going to mean, I can do all things. Okay, that's arrogance. But the Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ
That's
who
Christ,
strengthens me. Okay, that's where my rock comes from. And so understanding that God is constantly going to allow us, and through the brokenness of the world we live in, we are constantly going to be put into circumstances that are above us, bigger than us, harder than us, beyond what we're capable of. And this is not a time to say, oh, bless my heart, I don't think I can do this, I'm so insecure. And it's not a time to buckle
Oh,
up
I
and say,
got it.
hey, I got this, I don't need anybody else. No. This is a time to watch God empower us in those hard times and moments we didn't think we could get through. That's confidence. So the attitude, I think this is so much an attitude of confidence. Is like, wait a minute, who do I believe in? Who do I believe is empowering me? And if I believe those things, then I should have an attitude of confidence as I step into tomorrow, knowing that God's got this.
Yes, exactly. And it's one of those things where we cannot, and you and I both, I feel like we've been honest about, we've tried this before, just unplugging. We've tried, okay, good, that was great. I'll take it from here, kind of an attitude. But then, and we've talked about this before, we got spiritually, physically, and mentally tired very quickly, living in our own arrogance, living in our own experience, like, hey, we can do this, and then having to go back and plug in. But if we look at some of the, just some of the biblical characters that have stories of like this, whether it's David in front of Goliath, he's like, I know who God is. I came with the tools that God gave me. I'm not going to try to. He didn't try to, and this is the thing. He tried on Saul's armor, but it didn't work. It didn't. It's like, I can't be somebody I'm not. God made me, and he's equipped me with this little slingshot, with that I can play a harp, and I'm just going to go out there, not in my own strength, but in God's strength. And that's such a beautiful picture of just running into battle, a battle bigger than him. Esther, the same thing. She's just like, listen, y'all pray. God made me pretty, and so I'm gonna play to my strengths, and I'm gonna also play to, but I trust that God is gonna take me through because he's put me here. And I feel like so many times we question where we are and who we are and what God did. When we're just about to go into, we're like, hang on a minute. Because, when you think about Moses is like, no, I don't think you chose the right guy. And we talked about Moses a little while ago in a different podcast, because he's telling God didn't create him well enough, good enough, and God's like, that's exactly where I want you to be. You don't know. You just need to be connected to me. And I feel like so many times we look at, again, we get another self-focused, and we say, okay, the gaps are there. I don't know what, and we forget that God is pushing us into maybe these bigger battles or these bigger challenges, because he's going to get the glory, and our confidence can be in him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You mentioned David. I think maybe one of the greatest illustrations in all scripture as this very confident. I mean, you read it. He's incredibly confident with Saul. He's like, no, you don't understand. I've killed a lion, I've killed a bear.
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay. I'm willing to go out there. Okay. But then in his willingness to go out there, he picks up five stones and he's got a slingshot. And I mean, obviously David's not a fool. He understands that a slingshot and this big guy is not the same. Who's guy's got a javelin? He's got somebody carrying this, this huge shield. I mean, like David is not a fool. He understands what he looks like with no armor and a slingshot compared to this warrior in armor. But David still walks in confidence, and his confidence, when you read it, oh, I mean, you just see it in all of his wordings. His confidence is in the Lord, because he says, the Lord helped me kill this bear, the Lord helped me kill this lion, and God can go with us, and God can help us take down this giant. And he doesn't give Saul a 9-point plan on how it's going to happen. He doesn't say, well, you don't understand. I am a slingshot champion of all of Israel. I mean,
Right,
you
look at
understand, I've won
he's like,
awards. I mean, I hate to
right,
brag, but I'm
yeah.
really good at this.
I've been
I
in the
mean, I can lay this
circus.
puppy right in there. You
Yes.
don't hear that, right?
No.
What you see is this guy who's like, okay, God, go with me. He God's been with me before. He's helped me before. He can help me now. And this is a moment somebody's got to do something.
Exactly.
And so he steps into it. And for us, I think that really is where we're at. It's like we're at this point. And we've got to respond here. We've got to react here. We've got to do something in this place. And I can either shrink back and say, well, I don't think I can do it. I don't, da, 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 da. Or I can get arrogant and say, well, I'm probably the best one here to do this. Neither one of those are going to get it
Neither,
done.
right, exactly.
Yeah. So it's just stepping out into faith, into the unknown, and yet it's still understanding that God's got you, and
And I
to me,
think
that's
one of the things
confidence.
that you mentioned is important. And this is, we have just gone through, kind of the storytelling of, what God has done down here in the DR. And so many times we focus on David with Goliath. We focus on this big thing. And we focus when, these big moments in history, but David reminded himself and he reminded Saul of where God had stepped in earlier with maybe smaller battles. They were still big battles because David's a shepherd. He's protecting sheep against a lion, against a bear. But he's saying, look at these battles that God has created. And so when we think about some of the stories in your ministry, in my ministry, we love these big Goliath moments, but we know also we've got to remember these smaller markers that have built our confidence. We can go
Correct.
back and say, listen, I stepped in, I, paid $300 to rent a house, and and then now he's to look, and we
Right.
recognize, and I think it's important because David did that as well. And as we're building our holy confidence and who our confidence is in, we need to pause and look at how he's built it. And this is what God told Israelite, put a marker there. Remember when you crossed the Jordan. Remember when I brought you from here to here. Put a marker here. And that's when all of a sudden, when we get these bigger confidence Goliath moments, they don't come out. I don't feel like they come out of the blue because, we can look back and say, oh, I remember when we had nothing, and then God gave us a bucket of water. And I literally have a story about a bucket of water and God like growing our faith from there. And I think when we look back and praise him for those moments and look at that and say, that was not me, that was all him, and that builds us, it builds our confidence in him and our holy trust in him for these bigger moments where we're like, okay, yeah, I can see why my confidence needs to stay in him because look at where he's brought me from.
Yeah, and we need supernatural in our lives. We don't need the average, right? I mean, we're constantly faced with things that are bigger than we are, smarter than we are, where we need wisdom, we need all these kind of things. And so, I think that's the life that we live. So how then, maybe you're sitting there and you say, okay, Reba Allison, I love what y'all are
How do I do
saying.
it? Yeah, I
And
get
how in the world do I do
it.
this? How do I develop this confidence? How do I go from arrogance or insecurity, whichever side I'm in, where, how do I move towards this holy confidence that God gives us? And I think we're going to give you some really simple things, really simple. And I think if you want a verse to anchor your soul to, Proverbs 3:26 is a great one. For the Lord will be your confidence. I mean, it's really short. You can even
In
memorize
him.
that little part of the verse, right? For the Lord will be your confidence. And just getting that in front of you every day. And that kind of helps us step into some of this, because I think if you're going to be confident in who you are and how God's made you and where you are in life and what God's called you to do, okay? So in all the who, where, what, where's, and how's, okay? If you're going to be confident in all those places, you have to know who God is. You got to realize who you're plugged into. You got to realize where your confidence is coming from. It's coming from somebody who is faithful, all powerful, all knowing, and always. you know?
Right, exactly. And knowing and understanding, and that's again going back to if you didn't listen to our lesson on experiencing God, that would be a great place to start. If you're
It
like,
would
okay,
be.
knowing who God is, where is my confidence coming from? I don't know his character. I'm unfamiliar, or I've pulled away. So, and I want to get to know him again, going back and either listening to our podcast or just grab the book Experiencing God to understand who he is, because that right there will build our confidence in him and his character. Because then we're like, yeah, that's where I need my power. That's where I need to plug in. And so that is so important, knowing who God is, because that also tells us who we are in him. And I think so many times, and you can look, there's so in the New Testament, God gives us so many descriptors of who we are in him: beloved, friend, accepted, you know, all of these words that he uses for his people, saints, you know, all of the words that he uses for us in the New Testament. It's a little different in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, he's got these descriptors for his children that those are who that those are those of us that are in him, and these promises that we have for us. And I think it's important that we understand our identity is rooted in him, and it's not, and he does not love us more or less based on our performance.
Yeah, that's huge.
It's and I we put so much stock in numbers and percentages and looks and, you know, ounces and pounds. And I mean, we like the numbers, right? But God's not interested in that. He's interested
No.
in who we are and our identity in him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we live in a culture that says you have to earn your way here. You have to earn you have to earn love. You have to earn your right to be here. You have to earn whatever. And one of the most freeing things about being a child of God, and probably one of the most difficult things to understand about being a child of God,
Grasp it.
is that we do not earn his love. We do not have to perform. No, we don't have to jump up on our stage every day while the angels and God sit back in heaven and clap for us if we do good and boo us if we do bad. That is not that's not the relationship we have with him. And I feel like for a lot of people, they feel like they've got to earn their way into the favor of God. And then they keep, and the way they stay there, they just earn their way to be there. And there's just nothing we can do. There's nothing you can, there's no performance that you can, there's nothing like that. Obedience is important. But it's not about earning something. God's love is given to us without merit. There's no, you got to earn it in some way. So that is one of the most freeing things. And honestly, I think it's one of the triggers to opening a door for us into confidence is understanding, at least it was for me. I grew up with a mentality of performance. I needed to be the best at everything. And I needed to earn my way there. And I needed, you know, and I wanted to be better at whatever I was doing than the average bear, right? I wanted, and so I just grew up with this mentality that this is what it looked like for me. And when God really arrested my soul over it, you know, in my 20s and 30s and began to show me, wait, Reba, this is not about performance. You don't earn this. This is not about this. There were so many aha moments that would take a whole podcast to unpack for me personally. There were so many aha moments for me where I'm like, whoa. And then the freedom came because I was like, oh man. Okay. So now my confidence grew at that point. And my arrogance flipped to confidence, insecurities flipped to confidence. And all of a sudden, I was more confident than I had ever been before. How? Well, because I finally realized I'm not earning this thing. I can breathe and, you know, let God do what he does.
And that goes back to that point of rest. You know, we're
Exactly.
striving for that performance. We're struggling to earn his favor or his rewards or his love. And then when you go back to what you're saying, just understanding it's not, it's none of that is going to earn any more love from God than what we already have. And you know, and resting in that and trusting in that and allowing our confidence to grow from that instead of what, because again, it was about us, it was about our struggle, our strive, our numbers. I was in a meeting with some of my leaders yesterday, and we were going through some things. It was some hard thought. It was some hard things. I really do. I had a great idea, and Elizabeth pulled a pack of stickers out of her backpack and gave me a sticker on my to-do list. And she's like, "That was a really good idea, you know." And I was like, "A sticker. I love a sticker because we all do, right? We all love, you know, we all love the rewards, you know, the moment of affirmation, but making sure that it's coming from God and his, he's literally, when he puts a sticker on us, it's not because of us. It's because of what God did and what Christ is doing in us and through us. And that's, you know, and so we already have it, you know? And so just thinking of so many times we're trying to earn, you know, the stickers or the likes or the followers or the numbers or, you know, whatever it is that can be earthly measurable. But God's love is immeasurable, and that's what we have our confidence in. And so that, I think that's an excellent point. And knowing who God is and who we are in Him, I think it's restful. It pushes us into bigger things, but our confidence is in Him.
Yeah, and if I can say this before we jump into this third area for us, but honestly, God's way for you may not be God's way for somebody else.
Right. Yeah. That's
And
big.
being okay to be different is a really big part of this, knowing who God is, number one, and knowing who you are in Him. Because I'm not, I, you know, if you've met Mount Allison and I, you will know right away we're not really a lot alike. We don't think the same about things. We don't dress the same. We don't like the same things. We don't do the same things. And yet we're dear friends. But we're very different. But if I try to chase around and say, okay, I need to be like Allison. If I could just be like Allison, then I would be confident. Or vice versa, we're driving ourselves crazy because I wasn't meant to be that person. And so I think, you know, not forgetting that it's okay to be not like somebody else. In fact, God made you that way, maybe on purpose for a
On
reason,
purpose,
so that you could do things other people can't do. And we've got to be okay with that instead of trying to fit in with the masses and try to just make sure we look like everybody else.
That is very important. That is very important to say because, I mean, just think of Amy Carmichael's story. Was she the one who just like begged with blue eyes were the thing, and she would have never been able to be a missionary and go into the places that she was able to go to with brown eyes? And that's such a simplified example, but it's true. It's like, did God make him? Are you saying that God made a mistake when he made you the way he did? No, you wouldn't say that out loud, but you're saying that when you try to change, you know, and switch your personality to be this or to be that, you know, and so I think that's very important to say.
Yeah, it's just a great reminder. So know who God is. That's your first one. Know who you are in Him. But then here's three: submit before you step out. And Allison talked about Esther a while ago and the boldness that she had as she goes in before the king, knowing that uninvited, the law would be that she could die. And she went in uninvited, knowing that she was taking her life in her hands. And that's a bold step. So, but before we step out into these bold steps, if you track Esther's story, what you find is that she's got everybody she knows praying and she's begging God for, okay, show me. Humility plus obedience precedes boldness. Okay. So this is not an arrogance of saying, man, I'm just gonna be bold and I'm just gonna take charge. No. It's submitting. And true biblical humility looks like is submission. All right, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? And doing that and then being obedient, then be bold, you know, but don't be bold first and then try to figure out what God wants you to do. Reverse that, be humble first, be obedient, and then step out in boldness.
Right, exactly. And I think we can also see that, definitely in the Esther story, we could see that again in David's story. There was definitely the humility first, and then the I'm just going to step out, and but there was that. And that is important to say, because many times, again, that boldness, sometimes if it's not in the right thing and if it's not in the right way, it goes back to that bravado, that arrogance, that facade that we're like, I guess I just have to try. I guess I have to fake it till I, and pausing. And this is where when we first, I'm studying, I'm restudying Nehemiah right now, and the boldness that Nehemiah had, but the time that he took to really search God and make sure he's stepping in the right way and at the right time, and the humility that he had first, even in his prayer of confession and intercession, this humility that he had before he did come out with, just really supernatural boldness against, all of the odds. But sometimes when we feel like, okay, this is the right time, or this is the thing that needs to happen, we're skipping these two really important steps that you've just mentioned, which is human. It's just submitting it. Lord, I don't want to, I'm this is you're giving you're telling me what to do, where to go. I want to make sure I want to do it your way and not in my own strength. And so taking stock. And again, I go back to everybody needs to read Experiencing God again. You know what I'm saying?
Go
Because
back to it.
this is really going to help, even these steps, I feel like, because when you put it in perspective, and this is why we're talking about it this way. Know who God is, know who we are in Him, which is going to create that need and that understanding to submit and to be humble, because we've already put him in the correct place. We put ourselves in the correct place, and now we're like, okay, yeah, it's and I think Elizabeth Elliot had a wonderful quote about, if we say, God, thy will be done, are we willing for him to say, all right, then your will is undone? That's the true submission that we have to say, and then we have, the confidence to go forward.
No, absolutely. And then I think we can, as you just said, we can step forward now. But there's a way in which we step forward. Again, it comes back to what God's work in us. So we speak the truth, but we do it with grace. And confidence does not mean you have to take control of every situation, or you have to dominate every person that is around you. So you make sure that you're the top dog. That's not what that's not confidence. Confidence is serving. Confidence is being able to be in a position of serving others, loving others, taking the lower position. And Christ taught it over and over again. Hey, when you walk in a room, don't go sit in the highest seat and be asked to be moved, but actually take the lower seat and be asked to be moved up. And Jesus talks so much about humility and about what it looks like to truly be a follower of Jesus, which means to serve him. And it's definitely not, hey, I'm always the boss, I'm always in control, and I'm always going to be dominant. And we don't know what it looks like to speak the truth in grace or to speak the truth in love.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes, once again, this is one of those things that I feel like, that times when I just have to speak with confidence, but I don't have it, I get maybe louder, or I get more demanding, or more. And so sometimes I feel like you can kind of spot this right in the room. You're like, when somebody has this kind of control or dominance, you're just like, yeah, I'm very, and my husband especially, Gary's very wary of that type of personality, only because it's so many times it's rooted in the wrong type of, it's rooted in arrogance instead of confidence. And so you're just like, I have to yell louder.
Or talk
And I,
faster.
or talk faster, or be more demanding, or whatever it is. And I really, right now I'm in, and I know everybody's tired of hearing about it, but we're in puppy training mode still, and there is nothing that has so much arrogance as a puppy behind the bars, and just barking like they are just the big dog. And our puppy is so loud and has the loudest bark of everybody, and it's like, there's, and it just reminds me, and I'm like, that's arrogance versus versus confidence. If you can identify, if you're a dog person, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because it's like there's nothing louder than a puppy who doesn't know what he's barking at. And I think that sometimes when we don't have the right, when we don't have the right connection, or we don't have the right our the holy confidence that we need to just tell the truth, speak the truth, say the thing that needs to be said, because insecurity keeps us from saying it. Arrogance makes us say it louder and in the wrong way, and brings the attention to us. But confidence is telling the truth and telling it the way it needs to be told,
That's good.
and being, and being brave and bold in him, not in our own self.
Yeah, man, that's really good. That's really good. So that helps us. So knowing who God is, knowing who you are in him, submit before you step out, speak the truth with grace. And the last one we want to give you, and it's just it is the bottom layer of all of this, and that's stay teachable.
And
Stay
I was,
teachable.
this is one of those things that when we're talking about confidence in the beginning, if there are so many times when people ask us about the ministry, or ask, and I'm like, just be willing to learn. There were years, and I've shared this with you, I've shared this with Joy, our friend Joy from New Hope. There were times when I felt like I needed to have all the answers, and so I wouldn't ask the questions that I needed to ask. And being teachable has finally, I feel like just in the last couple of years, I've been able to say, okay, here's what I don't know, and here's what I don't, here's what I need to know. And staying teachable and understanding that who you were at 28 is not who you're going to be at 58. It's not. And it's okay, because God is teaching you along the way. He brings people into your life that are teaching you that if
Oh,
you
absolutely.
don't act like you know everything, don't constantly say, I know, I know, I know, I know. Just say, okay, I didn't, yeah, that's great information. I would like to know more, and ask the questions. And I think I wasted a long time. I feel like I wasted a long time not wanting people to know that I didn't know. And not being teachable, and not asking the questions, and being afraid to ask the questions. And so you need to, number one, ask the things, understanding what you don't know. But then if somebody steps in and says, hey, listen, you need, and I feel like you've done this in my life, the correction, the growth. Hey, you said something, or you did something, and I feel like, and just listening to a friend speaking the truth with grace in your life, and you're like, man, that really helped me grow, or I needed to make a correction in that's growth, and that's confidence.
And I think all of us, there is a piece of it, whether our insecurities are saying, don't ask, you'll look stupid, or our arrogance is saying, don't ask because then you'll look like you don't know. Wherever that's coming from, but being able to be teachable, have a teachable spirit, and learn from other people, I think that's the greatest thing that we have between the body of Christ, is to be able to learn. And honestly, you can almost just, I at this point in my life, I can almost start shaking my head, because I'll meet somebody and they think they just got here and they think they have all the answers. And it's like, oh boy, unless you change, this is going to be a hard road for you. You're gonna bring hardship on yourself. You're gonna bring hardship on others, because
And
you don't know.
relearning things is hard, and it's hard, and so it's going to take a lot more effort for somebody who knows something or thought they knew something, and then they're like, oh wait, that's yeah it is a hard road when you're when because we see it here down here in the Dominican all the time, just
And it's true confidence is being able to ask those questions. If you're really confident, you can ask, hey, I have no clue how to do this. Can somebody help me out over here? Or I'm not really sure what in the world I should do at this moment. That's a confident person who can ask those questions and not be afraid of what somebody thinks about you just because you ask a question. Ask the questions and see if you can figure things out. And that's going to speed up your learning curve, but it's also going to be able to get you to where God wants you to be so much faster as we learn and grow with one another. So those are what, like, five areas there that you can help to develop this confidence. If you don't have it, know who God is, know who you are in Him, submit before you step out, speak the truth with grace, and stay teachable. And that will help you develop some holy confidence. But what are some ways, see, well, then how do I know if I'm confident? Okay,
You're
that's
like,
how to get confident, but how do I know if I'm arrogant versus insecure versus confident right now? What are some ways that I know? And I love these. I think these are so great. We'll do them quickly. But I do think these are fantastic ways for you to do
Right.
a little quiz right now
Yeah.
on your
Yeah.
life, and how would you answer these questions?
Yeah. And so pick up a pen. I think this is really good. These are good because you pick up a pen, and this is good. It's a good checkpoint throughout, not just one time. I mean, just
Absolutely.
throughout in every situation. And so the first one is you're bold, but you're not boastful. And I feel like so many times we're like, we need to say the thing. We need to make sure everybody knows that it was us. You know, no, just you're bold, but not boastful.
Yeah, that's a big one. Here's number two. You can celebrate others without shrinking yourself. This was a
That's
tough one. I need to be able to celebrate everyone else's wins, celebrate what God's doing in their life, and not feel like somehow what I'm doing is less than or more or less significant or not as important or God's not blessing me. So without shrinking yourself, you can celebrate with others and celebrate the success of others.
And the third one, that is such a good one, and it's hard, and we're always struggling, I feel like, with that. But the third one, you step out in faith even when it's uncomfortable. And this goes back to that David and Goliath moment. Hey, I've got faith in, because you know that the faith is not in you, your confidence is not in you. You're like, oh, this is a big challenge, but God's got this.
Yeah, here's the next one. This was a tough one too. You can admit weakness without shame. All right. There's no shame in what you don't know or what you haven't learned yet or what you're not capable of doing.
Or
There's no
what messed
shame in it.
up, or where your mistake was. There's
Absolutely.
no shame. I think
So,
it actually shows, this shows confidence, because you can say, you know what, we're course correcting. This is, I'm teachable. I
yeah.
admit this, I don't know, or I tried something, it didn't work. This is huge. And I think going forward, again, with the different decades and generations that we minister to, this is a sign of confidence. It's also a sign of maturity.
Yeah, I think being able to say, I'm not good at this. Can you do this for me? Can you help me
Ask
with
for
this? I'm
help.
not good at this, or any of those things fall into this line. So being able just to admit weakness, but not being, you're not ashamed of that. It's
No.
okay. You
Yeah,
can't be good at
exactly.
everything.
And then the final one is you lead and love without striving. This goes back to that rest that we have in Christ. We can lead, we can love, we can serve people without it just being about the checklist and about getting everything done. And I feel like so many times, women especially, in their ministry, in their family life, they're striving because they need to do all these things. But if you can rest and get your confidence in God and in who He is and who you are, then your leading, your ministry, your love is going to be without, it's going to be from a position of rest, from a position of struggle. I think that's so important.
Yeah, and if you're like Reba, those are tough. Yes, they really are.
They really
I
are. They are
mean,
all of them are.
though they're all tough. And but I think they're great signposts for us to say, okay, wait a minute, where am I? How am I doing? And if you found like, ooh, boy, I'm
I
really
mean, I'm a three
struggling on
out
a
of five
couple
on
of
that one.
these.
Yeah,
Yeah.
right.
What should you do? Okay, what should you do? And I think there's just a couple of things as we close the podcast out that I hope, if you're like, whoa, boy, I am struggling in this area, or I know this is not, I don't do well here. I love scripture memorization for areas, targeted scripture memorization. So it's not just I'm going to go read a verse and I'm going to memorize this verse in the Bible, but it's like, okay, wait a minute. I'm struggling with this part of my life. Now I'm going to look for what God says about that part of my life, and I'm going to find a verse to memorize that pertains to that. So when I get to that point, when I'm in that struggle, when I'm in that moment, I've got that verse, and I just go right back to what is the truth? And there's no better way to speak the truth over a circumstance, a situation, or yourself than with the verse that you've memorized that helps you to be able to wait, I'm going to speak truth in that moment.
Yeah, exactly. And then, the second one, we talk about this all the time. We encourage everybody to do it. This is one of those things that you can do right as soon as you turn this podcast off, is journaling the victories. Make those markers, build those altars like that God taught the Israelites. Remember the victories. Remember when God won the battle or when God stepped in. And any answered prayers, just remember what He's done in your life. Journaling those so you can go back and build your confidence, like David did. Hey, remember when God helped me kill the bear? Remember when God helped me? And he's going back to those moments. And I think a journal is a great way to do that.
Yeah, and then we live in a world of affirmations. I hear people talk about you've got your affirmation all the time, and I like it, but you need to make sure that your affirmation is one that actually makes sense. And so affirmations that are grounded in truth. If you want to have a few affirmations that you say and that you believe, and they're statements that you get up every day, and you're like, okay, this is what I believe, this is what I'm going for, then things like God is my strength, I don't have to prove myself. Okay, now that's a good affirmation. Your affirmation shouldn't be all about how you are the best and you're awesome and you've got this. Your affirmation ought to be, wait a minute, God's got this and God's got me. Because God's got this and he's got me, that means I'm good. And I can step into this. And so it's great. Get you a few affirmations that you just say. And it's okay. You want to get up every morning and hey, just I'm going to make a couple statements that I believe to be true. Make them. But just make sure they're grounded in God and in his truth and in his word.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so important to continually connect those affirmations to who God is again. And then stop comparing. Silence that comparison trap. If you need to take a fast from social media, if you need to get off, if you need to get off social media, if you need to stop, I don't know what you need to do, but this is such a tra it is a trap.
It is.
Silence the comparison trap, because everybody is putting their best face forward in church, in social media. Those are the two places where you don't truly see who people are, in their real life, both, in the
It's
church pew
true.
as well as Facebook or Instagram. But stop comparing yourself. You are who God made you. You are how he made you to be, personality-wise, physically. So be careful when you are on social media. Be careful when because that's going to keep you from being confident in who you are, is the comparison. And it's going to create mistrust in who God is, because you're like, he didn't do the right thing with me. He didn't he messed up with. And that's not confidence in God.
No, not at all. Well, man, I tell you what, we have unpacked a bunch of stuff in this podcast. And I hope that you at least, man, maybe you say, boy, I couldn't keep up with all that. Listen, go back and listen to it again. But also just get you a thought from today. Don't let it overwhelm you. Get you one thing and just say, okay, let me think about this one thing for this week. And what does that look like for you? But I believe God has called us not to people who shrink back and not to people who puff up. I believe that God has called us to walk in a holy confidence with him. We are his children. We've been given his name, and we've been given all rights and privileges of his children. His power is ours. All of his resources are at our
His presence,
disposal. And so we step into this life with him. And that should make us incredibly confident, not in us and not what we can do, but in God and who he is. And that means that I'm walking I should walk in great confidence, really great confidence.
So we hope that, you go back, maybe listen to a few of these, write some of these things down, start journaling, and learn to live. And the only way you can learn to live in confidence in him is knowing who he is by being rooted deep in his word.
Absolutely. Well, till next time, stay rooted deep. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for listening to Rooted Deep. To learn more about Dare for More Ministries, go to dareformore.org and look up Mercy Workshop at mercyjewelry.org.